Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to the Transformation Cafe with your host, Robin Misevich. Transformation Cafe, a weekly half hour of light, topical conversation about health, wellness, happiness, personal growth, spirituality, and other insights. We're glad you're here. Transformation Cafe, a fun place to nourish your soul. Now, let's get started and introduce our diners for tonight's show.
I want to welcome everybody to the Transformation Cafe. I'm your host, Robin Misevich, and we are in our third show with the Cafe Book Club. Woo-hoo! We're doing the game called Life with Kay Gilley. Kay, how are you tonight?
I am fabulous and glad to be with you again.
Yeah, so thankful and so glad to have you with us tonight. And as always, my co-host, Miss Amy Frost. How are you this evening, my lovely sister?
I'm doing fabulous. I brought a deck of cards. I'm ready to play the game.
Okay. Last week she brought dice. This week she's bringing cards. I don't know if she's really getting the concept, Kay. We keep trying to toddle her along and say, girl.
What?
Girl, let's just kind of, you know. Okay.
I'm going to double down.
Well, you know, everybody needs to
double down.
Well, you know, we do that in life. I think sometimes we need to double down, so that's good. Well, I want to go ahead and do a little bit of review with the last couple episodes that we had. Last episode was just 359. We did chapters 3 and 4. And gosh, if you haven't listened to that one, oh my goodness. Was that a great show, you guys? Yeah, it was a great show.
Was.
Yeah, I'm just going to agree for everybody. Okay, thank you. Thank you so much. Yeah, we were talking about redefining success and having it, you know, we're going to get into this a little bit more tonight, but it's about our intentions are really the goals of the soul. So we're really going to get into that, talk a little bit more in depth about that tonight. But in chapter 3, we also talked about the compass of the heart. And I love that whole idea of our heart, really. Amy had shared a story about, she has a person she's counseling, and she said, you know, put your hand to your heart for guidance and what you need to be doing. And boy, that is so powerful. And that's just something I really would really encourage everybody to do. And we also talked about how, you know, the number one thing that's really important, I think one of the secrets to the game of life is just asking, you know, asking for help, asking for questions, you know, questioning things and just really, you know, saying, you know, what's my next step? What's my next baby step? And always just in this place of guidance, knowing that, you know, we have to ask, you know, ask and you shall receive, you know, that's something that's totally a part of these different guidelines. So jump anytime you need to, Kay, if you need to be, you know, directing or adding on to any of this stuff.
You're doing a great job. I was just going to add to ask and then listen to the answer.
Or just, you know, ask and Robin will hopefully be able to, you know.
Robin,
and then one thing I thought was, yes, Amy.
So I just want to, in chapter 5 here, I really want to kind of bring this point home. She Lizzie says, oh, Helen, I hadn't expected you with a start. And she said, you held your heart open and asked a question. That invites divine support in. So here I am. So I think that you're asking even when you don't know you're asking.
Mm-hmm.
Because every thought is a prayer.
Because every thought is a prayer.
Yeah, and we talked about that in chapter 1 and 2. So, you know, we're really reviewing now. But that's exactly right. I mean, you know, both Amy and Kay have shared that this is one of these books that you can get it out every 3 months, 6 months, you know, however how many times you just kind of feel like, I should look at that book again. It's just really, it's a very quick read, but a very profound read. And being able just to remind us on a continual basis about, you know, the way that this game is basically played. And I think it's just really, really important. And, you know, along with chapter 3, it was talking about, you know, the big picture is always changing. So it's really important to not get too caught up in the past and maybe even in the future, but being willing to be very much in the present moment. And boy, you know, that's just such a thing that's really come into our culture that I'm really happy to see that so many people are really, you know, seeing the value of being able to pause and stop and being able to say, you know, where am I right now? And, you know, what do I need to know about things? you know, and being able to just be able to embrace the oneness of what's happening when, you know, get a group of people together. It's, you know, the being at the oneness is really what helps us to get access to the to spirit and to, you know, to the support that's really literally just, you know, waiting, you know, nipping at the, you know, the bit to be doing something, anything for us when we basically just say, help, and they'll go, okay, good, finally, they said something. Okay, thank you. And then in chapter 4, we talked about rewriting our stories, and boy, that so important. I'd love for you to elaborate a little bit more on that, Kate, where we, you know, we just go along on autopilot all the time, and we don't really realize that it can be just these small things that we do differently that can totally change our lives by, you know, just driving a different direction, you know, driving a different way home, or just doing different things. You know, that's funny because we were talking about that last week, and I've had so many people just say, you know, I hadn't worn, you know, it was like clothes or something like that. I haven't worn this in 10 years, and for some reason, I just felt like it was time for me to get it out and do it, you know, wear it again. People were realizing that, you know, bring up some of these things that, you know, that gave me joy for whatever reason I put it down, or do something a little bit differently to give me stuff. So it's really, you know, making those little gestures for yourself. And then, you know, as you do that, it's just taking personal responsibility for all of our choices. And when we could really come from that point of, like, knowing that you're making an impact, that you're making those choices, that could be something that really, literally just changes you at a soul level. So, you know, with that, you know, I love how Amy, you know, brought in the whole remembering and the reminding us about, you know, I put my hands to my heart, I opened my heart, and I asked a question, and then I started receiving messages. So, you know, it's being able to move from that place. So in chapter 5,
yes,
we were talking about being, you know, being in the present. Go ahead.
Oh, I thought you said it had wanted me to say something more about chapter 4.
Yeah.
Are you ready to go on to 5?
No, go ahead. Whatever you want to, you know, whatever
okay.
you want to elaborate
well,
on
I was
or
just
add to. Yeah.
For those who may not have heard us last week, that because part of this mission in this life is to learn spiritual lessons, our lives are really set up in a way that is designed to start us out just the opposite way that we're supposed to be going. So we are in this karmic story, and it's our job to leave that karma behind and to be very intentional in the future. And so we talked about how important it was to be aware of what is real, and what is real is tuning into that commitment that we made, our intentions, our goals of our souls that we made before we were born. And all the other noise that goes on in our world isn't real. And so it's really important to be aware that we're always wanting to go back to what was it that I came here for, as opposed to what's my habit of life been.
Mm-hmm. And that's so profound, because it's so easy to get caught up in the busyness and what's going on and forget to ask that question.
Yeah, and I love that, you know, we were talking a little bit about you may have these meetups that you're supposed to do with other people, and they're not fully in their present moment, and so they get caught up in something, and so things need to get reorchestrated with another person that's going to be able to help you keep helping you, assisting you with your intentions and the things you're wanting to do. I thought that was really fascinating about, you know, having that be, okay, plan W.
Exactly.
This person's like way over in left field here. We didn't, you know, they made these choices that, okay, things change. It's like everything is changing all the time. The big picture is changing. So maybe this is something that, you know, it really kind of helps you to be able to embrace that in just a different way. Excited to be talking about, because in chapter 5 is called Reconciliation. I'd love for you to elaborate on, you know, that was an interesting title. For what we're really, you know, what we're talking about here.
Yeah, I would like to step back and talk about 5 and 6 really as a couplet, because so far in the book, we've really been kind of getting the general concepts. Chapter 5 and chapter 6 are really very detailed examples of how to do this in our daily lives. And Chapter 5 is particularly to win at the game called life requires us to be in the present. And so what chapter five is how do we reconcile all those things that keep us from being in the present? And there are a number of things, but the two key ones we learn about here are our commitments that we make and forgiveness. And that when we're really clean about both of those things, we don't have all the guilt and blame and shame and all those things that pull us back to the past or propel us into the future because we're trying to prevent the past happening again. And so this chapter is really about how is it that I learn to be really in the present.
So
and
how
to
do
be
we
in
do
the
that?
Present.
What, the fast food version?
Yeah, I want the fast food version. Yeah.
The fast food version.
Microwave.
It's what Amy was talking about with her person, which is like focus on your heart. You know, hold yourself in oneness, ask a question, and listen for the answer. And those are the, you know, that's always going to take us back to the goals of our soul being in integrity with all that is. Those three simple steps that the answer is always there.
And I've got my friend Felice has joined us. So if she wants to say something or not, it's okay. But I just want to make sure she's sitting at the table with us.
Yeah. Hello.
Hello.
Hey, Felice.
Hi.
Hey.
Nice to meet you.
Welcome to the cafe.
Thank you. Hello, Robin. Hello, Kay. Nice to meet you. Your book will be in my hands probably by tomorrow or the next day.
Okay, great.
Yeah, and I'm taking it in right now. I'm not accustomed to asking too much, which is interesting for me, to asking a guide, an angel, the universe, why I'm here. I try to figure it out myself. So I think just the process of asking is important for me. It's not something I'm accustomed to doing. So that I'm kind of like, at that threshold, just to know how to ask and who to ask. And, you know, you say the answers are there, but I have a strong mind, as most people do, and sometimes the mind gets in the way. So I think one of the accessibility to the answers is a biggie for me.
Yeah, I have a question about that.
It sounds like just that awareness is moving you into your divine legacy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I do.
How do we know that?
Go ahead, Robin.
I was going to ask, Kay, how do we know when we get something that it's really what we need to be knowing is it's the guidance that we're getting? How do we know that? How do we trust it?
Yeah.
Well, I will tell you both my own personal experience and a lot of people that I've coached. The answers almost always will be there so instantaneously that there's almost the tendency to dismiss it because it's like I didn't finish asking the question and there was an answer.
I just slow down.
And I remember when
it was
doing my intensives, and a couple of times I'd have people say, well, I got an answer already and you hadn't finished the question. Is that okay? Say, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
and often the answer maybe doesn't even make sense to you because remember, we've got this huge matrix with all these millions of moving parts, and all you know is your one moving part. And so what will make sense to your one moving part maybe doesn't make sense to that whole matrix.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I always seem that it kind of seems like that. It's like 180 that you were like, I never would have thought of that. You know what I mean? You know it's not you kind of thing.
Yeah.
I have a question about the timing. I think I heard you say something in the background when I was outside that it constantly changes. So is there a, do we have an answer, or is it only in the moment that you ask? In other words,
it's only constantly in the moment that you ask, because it could be, you know, 5 minutes from now, it could be something different. And
that's
so that's
exactly
why
what
it's important. Yeah. You get your answer and you act on it. And the reason it keeps changing is some people get answers and don't act on it. And so then that kind of, it's sort of like if you imagine a jigsaw puzzle, it's like every time somebody doesn't act on what they've gotten, it's just like taking that whole jigsaw puzzle and throwing it up in the air, and we're going to start all over again.
Oh, wow. Well, now what comes to mind is, you know, like when you're doing jump rope, right? You've got two ropes going, and there's a certain window to get in. And if you don't get in, then somebody else has to get in.
Yeah.
That's good. That's a good one, Amy. Mm-hmm. I like that.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a process to this reconciliation, this process of connection. There's like you have a three-step process here that I love us for us to kind of walk through a little bit. So the number one says you need to, we hold ourselves in oneness. I wanted to talk about, so what, you know, somebody who's new to this whole idea, what would that mean to be holding myself in a oneness?
Well, this is where we think about ourselves being one with everything in the universe. So we see to kind of the margins of ourselves melt away. And I've got a picture of a bunch of Valentine's kind of hearts with a bunch of ribbons connecting all of them. And so what our job is to do is to kind of step out of our ego, step out of our karma, and just be in that flow of connection of everything that is. And it's at that point, and then we go to that second place, and where you ask, what would the universe want us to do right now that is in alignment with our intentions? Because remember, we talked in earlier chapters about our purpose is to learn certain spiritual lessons, to perform spiritual work, and to develop our gifts and talents as fully as we can. So when we ask that, what would you have me to do now that's in alignment with our intentions, that's going back to what it was that your soul chose before you came into human form. And then that third step is just what we've been talking about, and that's listen and then follow precisely. And I was having a conversation last weekend with somebody about the book, and he said, well, how much of this is you? Well, some of it's my client, some of it's me, some of it's different examples. But the story in, actually, I think it's in chapter 6, where Lizzie's thinking about this quilt that she started as a young woman. And I had really gotten to a place where I was cleaning out some of these old commitments, and that was one that I wanted to get rid of. And I literally had the advice that is in the book, which is she gets this advice to go to this church that she doesn't go to on that specific morning, and walks in, and there's this bunch of women who are making a quilt. And that really happened to me. But it was like, okay, I have this list of broken commitments, and this is one that I want to complete. What would you have me do? And I get this nonsense message, but I did it. They were delighted to get my quilt. It really did support a charity that I
personally had done a lot of volunteer work for. And it just, all the pieces come together, and you just can't know until you ask and you listen carefully, and then you move out on what you ask or you're told.
You know, I thought that was a beautiful story, and just looking at it more from the metaphoric level about a patchwork of things, you know, all these aspects of myself being put together and not having it finished. You know, and then having it being guided to going to church, having it, you know, some spiritual guidance coming in to basically get it completed.
Yeah.
So on a spiritual level, you know, using it metaphorically, I thought that was very, really a unique way of being able to sell it. Yeah.
So I want to throw it. Felice and I, she's in Santa Barbara, and I'm here visiting her. And we've basically been doing exactly what Kay says, holding in that oneness, asking the universe, and listening. We're getting answers. They are so, some of them are so insane and magical and coming together that it's, we find ourselves having a hard time believing it because it's so magical. Yeah.
Well, the synchronicity.
The synchronicities, exactly. So we're you know, I am. I believe Felice is too, a little stunned.
A little stunned.
And we're trying to, okay, how do I fight my brain from trying to say that really didn't happen? Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Absolutely. It also sometimes feels to me when you get in this flow. And it almost feels like the more you follow the advice, the more advice you get, and the faster it goes. And that sometimes it just feels like the world's spinning around you. And it's just like, okay, how do I surrender myself and just allow myself to be into that flow?
Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah, without, you know, stop, you know, putting your hands up against the wall, right, to try to slow it down.
Yes.
Exactly. Well, you're like, you just put your hands up and go, okay, keep laughing.
Okay, that would be a Robin. Yeah. You throw your hands up in the air.
That's a Robin. Yeah, that's Robin. Well, you know, I just think of like, and I think it's, I would think it's a Buddhist tradition anywhere. It just says, and this too, and this too, and this too. You know, it's automatically a sense of awareness and openness of being, you know, like we talked about before about, you know, beginner's mind of like, okay, and this too. So it's in, you know, because, you know, it's that saying that the universe is always saying yes. So what are you asking for?
Well, and I don't want to scare people. But what I want, I guess part of my point is, it's almost like getting an ice cream headache. This ice cream is fabulous and you love it.
You
get an ice cream headache from all these amazing things that were happening so fast to us. You know, so it was like, okay, stay in the game, even though it's kind of like, oh my God, this is overwhelming. And know that that may be part of it, and that's okay.
Mm-hmm. It probably is part of it.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Or how do we know? Because it's happening, right? Because it is happening.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I'd love to move on to the...
Yeah. The forgiveness part, I think, would be good.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. I just love for us to make sure that we get this, because there's a four-step process in like moving from, you know, those ideas of, you know, for the process of reconciliation. There's also moving from looking at forgiveness and, you know, God's, you know, it's God's nature. And I'd love for you to talk about that, Kay.
Well, I'd like to tie just a little bit more on the commitment. I think it feeds the forgiveness that broken commitments and the way that I write about this is anything that we decide we're going to do, whether it's buying a book that we never read or telling somebody we're going to do something, those are all things that suck energy out of us and hold us in the past. And so it's really important for us to be aware at any point in time, where are my open commitments and how do I close those? And that's where the forgiveness comes in, because a lot of times you need to forgive somebody else. You need to ask for forgiveness from somebody else. You need to forgive yourself. And it seems to me the place that we are closest to being in God's nature is when we are in one of those forgiveness processes. So whether we're giving forgiveness to somebody else or asking for it, it's God's nature to forgive. And when we go through that forgiveness, we are as close as we can be to being one with God. And it seems to me like in our karmic world, we sort of think that if we have to ask for forgiveness or give forgiveness, it's a status thing. You know, I lose status if I have to say I made a mistake and ask for forgiveness. But that's not the way it is. I don't think that's the way God wants us to be. He wants us to keep it simple. And so I talk about this four-step forgiveness process, which is just tell the truth. You know, I said I was going to do this and I didn't. And then ask for forgiveness. And, you know, just keep it as simple as possible. No excuses, no long convoluted stories, just this is the truth. Forgive me. Say thank you for the forgiveness. And then ask how can I make it up to you? And that, you know, it's a pretty simple, straightforward, quick process, but it does get rid of that energy because we've all had somebody promise that they were going to do something and then they didn't do it. And even though it's not, may not be a big deal, it kind of weighs on the back of your brain that that person never did what they said they were going to do. And so this keeps us, as this whole chapter is, it's about how do you stay in the present.
So what do you do if you've gone through that process? You know, you tell the truth and you ask for forgiveness and say thank you and make amends, and that person really isn't willing to, you know, to forgive.
I would say most of the time they are. There are going to be some times that, you know, that I can remember forgiving my mother once for something that she didn't think she did. And she was quite angry. And so I think it's really important to ask yourself, you know, is this something that may be hurtful to the person? Maybe it's not appropriate. Then you can do the same process just with you and God without necessarily bringing the other person in. But I would say most of the time when I've had things like that, it's like the person's been very open to just saying, yeah, let's talk about this. Let's get this behind us.
And I like, you know, when making that amends, make sure that you don't set yourself up again. I like how it talks about how setting up to do computer work and that it was coming up again as like, oh, goodness, I really still need help. But it's like, no, I can't do that, but I could review a press release. That's something I'm really good at. So
right.
Doing that.
And something I enjoy.
And something I enjoy is part of my gifts.
So you're bringing joy and you're using your gifts through that process. Yeah, that's beautiful, being able to move with it. So, and then chapter 16 is about integration. I'd love for you to talk about, you know, integrating this. How do we wrap it all into a pretty bow and all that?
Yeah, this chapter really, we have a sequence of things where Lizzie's gotten guidance. And then she's going out and actually doing the things that she got guidance to do. And then sort of like is happening with Amy and Felice, it's surprising, you know. It's like, and all the pieces, anytime you take one step in the universe to resolve something, almost always it resolves a whole bunch of other things. There's other things that are connected. And so incident, a situation at a time, Lizzie tries, we talked earlier about the quilt. She's giving some books away in another situation. She's resolving or finishing a press release that she promised a neighbor to do a long time ago, and she hasn't carried through with that. And each one of those times, it's not just that one situation, but she discovers that when she does that, there's a trickle-out effect that serves the universe.
We've only got about a minute left to just kind of wrap up the, you know, this wonderful show. So what would be something that, you want to make sure that our listeners in just really honoring these chapters for, the book?
I would encourage people to ask, what's keeping me out of the present? And then fix it, you know, whatever you need to do. Yeah. And that could take a lot of forms. When I stopped working last winter, one of the first things I did was just go through my whole house. And I got rid of 10 boxes of stuff in my pretty small place that was all stuff that, you know, at one point I felt like I was committed to, but it was just like, no, that's history. Get rid of it.
And I think it's real profound when you were saying that those are things that are holding you back. So why not get rid of that, you know, having those things. It's like, you know, having that big sack that you're basically dragging around behind you. You don't even realize you're dragging it.
Yeah.
But there it is, dragging you around. So like it's thank you, Kay. So appreciative of your insights. It's so wonderful. And thank you, Felice and Amy, as always, joining us.
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay,
it.
Girls.
Thank you.
Yes.
So next week we'll be doing chapter 7. So we'll be looking forward to that. So just have a really soulful week, and spend a little time every day with your hand on your heart, and just asking some kind of a simple question, just like saying, you know, what's my next step? And follow that beautiful thread, and see how glorious your life can become. And we'll see you next time here at the cafe.
All right. Woo-hoo.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye. Thank you.
We hope you enjoyed listening to the Transformation Cafe podcast. To learn more, visit transformation-cafe.com for show notes, guest information, and links to previous shows. You can also subscribe to the Transformation Cafe podcast on iTunes. Join us again next time at the Transformation Cafe, a fun place to nourish your soul.